Welcome to our first episode of Perfusion Vendor Rock Stars. Today is Thursday, March 18th, 2021. I'm Adam. This is Todd. We are the interviewers as well as Perfusion Life. And we are really excited to have our first Perfusion Vendor Rock Star, Glenn Durham, here with us. Thanks for being here, Glenn.
Number one, glad to be here, Adam. I appreciate it. Yep. Todd, always good to see a smiling face. Yeah, that's before you got married, right? Or getting married, right?
Yeah. Got some time.
Soon, May 29th. Yeah. So everyone out there, please like, comment, and subscribe. Really appreciate our viewers. And if any people out there, Perfusion sales reps or perfusionists want to be part of this interview process, please let us know, reach out, and we'd be glad to interview you through the process. First thing we're going to do is give a brief overview of Glenn's kind of background, and then we're going to ask some professional questions about his career, and then Todd will go into some personal questions, some fun personal stuff, and then we'll go into a lightning round, which is really fun at the end.
So can't wait.
I'm sure Glenn's prepared for that. So Glenn, I'm looking at your resume, and it's like we started off at University of New Orleans with a dual major, management and biology, which sounds like a great combination for your career and your industry.
Didn't know it at the time, but it seems to work out well. To have worked out well.
That's great. And then you started in sales, it looks like in 2000, with Carbometics, and then with St. Jude after that, up through 2009. Both in heart valves. And then now you're the owner of MedSurg Specialist, president and principal.
Yeah. And actually, Adam, I go back so much further than that. In 1985 is when I first started my sales career at a distribution company called Owens & Minor. So if I put my entire resume on there, it'd be about three pages and you'd be flipping back and forth. So yeah, I'm an old head and have been around quite a long time.
Well, that's a great experience too, because now you deal with companies like that as well, those sort of GPOs and distributors and things. So it looks like you've had some great success in your current position, grew from $0 up to $12 million annual sales and eight states and nine representatives. So you've built quite a little empire there, but
very lucky, successful. Very fortunate.
Yeah, that's great. And then you've you give back as well. So you're part of the Heart Gift of NOLA, which ensures cardiovascular surgery in countries, just cardiovascular surgery for children, it looks like, in other countries. And so that's a great organization, as well as a food bank. And you're also on the board member of NOLA. So we are the Heart Gift NOLA. So we appreciate you giving back and doing that as well. So thank you.
Yeah, that's very fulfilling. It's tremendous to see those babies come in with congenital defects and have them corrected here at Children's Hospital of New Orleans and then sent back to their home country happy and healthy.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for doing that. So you've touched on a little bit of some of these questions, but the question was, how long have you been in your current profession? It sounds like you started earlier on with Owens & Minor. Is that who you...
Yeah. Owens & Minor in 1985.
But, so how did you get into that industry? Because we do get a lot of people that ask, and they ask us, you know, how do you get into medical sales? So maybe you can kind of give some advice in that area as well.
I tell people it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's about what you know about who you know. But I actually fell into it quite backwards. I went there just as a simple warehouse job as an hourly employee at 19 years old. And the job I was first tasked with doing, a person had just left that job as his full-time job. I started working in the warehouse and receiving. And the first day I was there, the job that this other individual had been doing, I finished in about an hour and a half. And I didn't know it was supposed to take all day. Surprise, surprise. So I would go inside and say, what do you want me to do now? I finished this. So slowly that kind of grew over the months into a VP and branch manager there who said, listen, why don't you go out and sell? I guess I was friendly enough, personable enough, and could speak the English language. So he sent me out to start calling on doctor's offices, small clinics, things of that nature. And it just kind of blossomed from there. And then every job I've had with progressive and increasing responsibility, I've been recruited by those companies to come and work for them, and really found, I think, my niche in surgery and in cardiovascular surgery in particular. I really just enjoy that service probably more than any other.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So what products, kind of a dual question, what products are you currently, you know, representing? And then also maybe you can explain briefly about direct versus indirect or sales reps and kind of what your current role is within your business and
how you
interact with other manufacturers.
Yeah, for about 11 years now, I've represented LivaNova, formerly Soren, in the cardiopulmonary division. I also have LifeNet Health, which is cryopreserved tomographs for cardiac and vascular procedures. I represent Edwards, the vascular therapies division. I also have Jace Medical, which is a sternal plating system, a high-quality device for high-strength sternal closure. So basically the difference between what I do, it's commonly called a distributor, but that's kind of a misnomer mm-hmm. because a distributor in its purest form would buy and sell products. I'm more of a sales agent, and that's how I've developed my company. We contract with different manufacturers who may not either afford or want to afford a direct salesperson, which carries with it the salary and the expenses and the HR component that requires a good bit of overhead in order to maintain that employment status. So the sales agent steps in as an independent representative and gives the same effort and the same kind of accountability that the direct salespeople have. But we also have the flexibility of, again, representing other products and not just a single product. It works well in my geography and some of the areas that I have, because of the individual reps that I work with that have tremendous relationships in that cardiac space. And additionally, the Louisiana, Mississippi is really not a very big market. It's not the one that most companies would think of initially to put a direct salesperson. It's not Houston. It's not, Atlanta, those areas where maybe smaller emerging companies would want to put a direct sales rep. So we fill a nice niche role there for, mm-hmm. for a lot of companies.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for the details explanation.
Yeah.
I'm sure our audience will appreciate that. Have there been professionals or personal people in your life that have influenced and sort of steered you in the direction in your life, or, who's had an impact?
Yeah, I've been very fortunate to have, a number of folks that have been influential from a management standpoint. I've had two excellent regional managers. Scott Bell was the first one with Carbometics who kind of took a chance on me and brought me into the heart valve world and gave me that exposure to a high level of intimacy with cardiac surgery. He had some unbelievable advice and was a great mentor. Additionally, Steve Garhan, who was my manager at St. Jude Medical, who actually shepherded me through and after Katrina and was just invaluable in kind of, forming and shaping a vision for how reps and companies behave and act in the face of crisis. And that was really kind of inspirational for me. But, Dr. Cliff Van Meter, who's since passed away, was a surgeon mentor of mine from Ochsner Hospital here in New Orleans. And, we developed quite a friendship and he was very generous with his time and kind of teaching and helping me understand, the intricacies of cardiac surgery and why they do certain things. And so I guess that combination of both the management influence and the surgeon influence, I've been very lucky to have.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's great. Yeah.
Those nice to have those people in your lives. Mm-hmm. So what are some challenges that as a sales rep that people don't see as clinicians? Glenn always has to walk in with a smiling face and everyone be happy to see everybody. And then, so what are some of the challenges that you face that people don't know or understand?
Right. I think that's a great question. And I've actually had this discussion with a number of perfusion customers. And when they're wondering why certain things haven't happened when they believe they should have, or the timeline that they might have set out, I think the biggest challenge is bureaucracy, and it's an increasing level of red tape and additional decision makers that really have nothing to do with the clinical aspect of what our perfusion customers do. But I would say that's the biggest challenge is just bureaucracy. And I mean that both on the company side, because there's been increasing challenges dealing internally with various processes and things that are necessary, but it does create delays and some additional, I guess opportunities for misunderstanding with a customer if something doesn't happen in the time frame that they feel it should. So, that's what one thing I know that perfusion customers don't really get is that bureaucracy.
Yeah, good point. So, you mentioned friendly, personable, kind of gave you the opportunity to maybe jump into sales from your first job there. Are there other superpowers that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, well, I have X-ray vision, and boxers really work for you, Adam. I would go with the tidy whities.
So it works through Zoom. It works.
It works through Zoom. Works through the table. Works through everything. I can get right to the bottom. No, I think that one thing that has helped me in my career is just being personable, being myself, being genuine, being able to build relationships very quickly because I am just who I am. I don't try to sugarcoat anything. I don't try to put on any affectation, anything like that. And I think people respond to someone who's genuine, and I think they could see through, on the opposite side, someone who's being fake or just trying to adapt themselves to build something artificial. And that's been one thing I've tried to stay true to.
Excellent skills.
Yeah. Well, I think through meeting you, I've met, handful of times to talk to you. You're definitely authentic. And I could see that making it a lot easier to have a relationship.
All right. Well, due to limited time here, I think we want to go into some personal questions here and have Todd ask you some maybe more fun, lighthearted stuff.
There we go. That's what we're looking for. Yeah.
Well, great. So, first things first, do you have any personal hobbies?
Golf and traveling, and then traveling for golf. So, it's good to combine kind of those things together. As I've aged, I've gotten out of the flag football leagues and old man basketball leagues, and golf seems to fit that niche.
Yeah, a little easier on the joints. Golf sometimes. And so, since we're perfusion vendor rock stars, what kind of music do you like listening to? Bands, genres?
Well, country music, believe it or not, is my go-to. I've been a parrot head, a devotee of Jimmy Buffett since probably 82 or 83, and have started to collect his vinyl set. So I have one of his first albums. I don't think there's very many that have survived, but it's one of my prized possessions. I won't tell you how much I had to pay for it, but I would say Jimmy Buffett and country music.
Great. Yeah, that's some good music to just kind of relax and have a good time.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah. Someone sees this interview and they're going to write a book about Glenn. What's the name of your biography?
That's an easy one. As soon as I saw that question, I have been talking about the title of my biography forever. And anyone who's played golf with me knows what it is. It's How to Turn Birdie into Bogey in 3 Easy Putts. Nice. It's an absolute no-brainer.
I feel your pain. Yeah. Todd did that on 18.
Yeah, a bunch of times. Yeah.
Recently. Yep.
That's great. So someone says, "Hey, I want to turn that book into a movie. Who's going to play you?"
Well, I was initially thinking Morgan Freeman, but because of his versatility, not for any other reason, because same he can voice. Play anything. But realistically, I'd have to say Brad Pitt. I mean, of course,
yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. I think if he had enough time, he could get in good shape and kind of mimic what I've got going on here, but. Definitely Brad Pitt.
I can see it.
I see the laughter there. That's not funny.
if he's willing to commit.
I'm just thinking of Brad Pitt trying to get into your shape.
Yeah. Well, if he's willing to work hard for the role, he could do it.
If he had enough beer in over about 5 years, he could probably do it.
Yeah, he probably could.
He's talented.
All right. Well, it's time to get serious again because now we have the lightning round. I take this very seriously. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fire off some questions at you. Just answer them as quickly as you can, and then we can run back through and you can explain some of your answers.
Got it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right, we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. What's something you could eat for a week straight?
Sushi.
What's the most boring thing ever?
Reading.
Favorite city in the U.S. besides where you live?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Place you want to travel?
Ireland.
Can you touch your toes without bending your knees?
No.
Fastest speed you've ever driven in a car?
124.
Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you like garlic?
-4. Oh, I have to stay within those parameters.
There's no wrong answers.
Yeah. No, I like that. You sometimes got to go off script. All right. Yeah. So something you could eat for a week straight. You said sushi.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean,
Well,
no, there's a couple of places here in Mandeville that do a filet roll. So it's almost like a California roll where they put filet over the top and then they just cook it real quick with a torch and it's phenomenal. So yeah, I mean, sushi offers so much variety. I easily could eat that for a week and probably have if I thought about it long enough.
That sounds fantastic. What's the most boring thing ever? You're not much of a reader.
Well, that was my first inclination. And just because I've had to read so much from college and textbooks and now, you know, clinical papers, I find it sometimes boring if it's not on a subject that I like.
I understand that completely too. Favorite city in the U.S. besides where you live?
Birmingham, Alabama.
That's pretty surprising.
Not surprising if you know that my girlfriend lives there.
That's what I thought about. Okay. I thought about that. When you said that, I'm like, someone must live there that you like. Not that Birmingham's not a bad city, but.
No, it's really a neat city. And I don't know if I should say this publicly because most people in Birmingham don't like this to get out. I think it is one of the best food cities in the country. The restaurants there, I would put her on par with any place I've ever traveled in the U.S. It really is a hidden gem.
Okay. Might have to go there sometime. Let's try some food.
Sounds good. And
Lem, great microbreweries. Fantastic microbreweries.
That's where Lem lives, right?
Correct. Yeah, he does.
Okay. So then place you wanted to travel, you want to go to Ireland.
Ireland, indeed. That's interesting because traveling for golf, that's our next trip. The summer before, I was able to take a golf trip to Scotland. Wow. So we had a golf trip to Ireland planned pre-pandemic, and we've now moved that to 2022. So we're delaying it a year, but really excited to go there.
Yeah, I know that's one of the best.
Sounds wonderful.
For golf.
Relaxing. Yeah. Go to the pub. Golf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then can you touch your toes without bending your knees?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I can touch them. I can touch them with bending my knees. Does that count?
Well, that's good. You can tie your shoes, because, put socks on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all you without need. Assistance.
That can be hard too.
Yeah. And then the fastest speed you've ever driven in a car.
Approximately 124.
No, exactly 124, because that's what the officer said it was.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, he knows exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. The last guy we interviewed, Ralph.
Yeah.
He said he's a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. He says all his friends say he drives like a senior citizen. And he said he doesn't go to court every weekend like his friends do. So, yeah.
And then scale 1 to 10, you're not a big fan of garlic.
Not a big fan, not a huge fan. And neither is my girlfriend. So that works out well.
Yes. Yeah, that is nice for cooking. There's never going to be any arguments.
It can live with you for a while.
Yeah, garlic. Can, oh, yeah. It can either ruin your life or make it great.
So, Glenn, we're about ready to wrap up. We just want to ask you, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience? Any topic, any feedback, any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just kind of reiterate how much I've enjoyed calling on perfusionists and coming from, cardiac surgery and working exclusively with surgeons and then jumping into perfusion, 11 years ago. I've so enjoyed meeting, the diversity of characters and the diversity of intellect and just kind of understanding what they do. They're really the unsung heroes of the hospital in many, many ways. A lot of folks don't understand what they do, don't know what they do. From a technical standpoint, they're some of the most brilliant people I've ever met. And from a clinical standpoint, they really, really, day in and day out show a tremendous affinity for their patients and those that they care for. And I've just, developed a deep appreciation for what they do.
Yeah, that's great. It is true. And they're the only people in the hospital that can run the heart lung machine. A lot of other positions can cross train a little bit and work in different disciplines, but perfusionists, if you want to do heart surgery, use a heart lung machine.
Yeah. I equate it as very much like a jigsaw puzzle that constantly changes. Mm-hmm. You may put it together once, but if one clinical parameter changes, you need to be able to react and move to something else.
Yeah. You're great.
It's pretty great what they do.
Well, Glenn, we hope to see you around soon.
I will be at the meeting July.
Oh, wonderful. We'll see you at the end of July in Myrtle Beach.
We'll see you at the 2021 Carolina Perfusion Symposium taking place in Myrtle Beach, the Grand Dunes Marriott.
Yeah, book your I know you booked your room. There are some more shoulder dates available, so you should be able to book some of those if you'd like. So thanks.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out. I've got my reservation anyway. And wonderful. Then thought I'd work out the details later, but I'm very much looking forward to maybe a 2v2 here with the Clark boys against Spinelli and myself.
Spinelli. So,
okay, we might have to make that happen.
You're on.
Yeah.
All right.
So, keep perfusion rocking, perfusion vendor rocking, and we'll see you next
time. Always.
Thanks, Glenn.
Always. Thank you, guys.